Welcome back to the Quality Time Podcast, ladies and gents. I'm your host, Mr. Eric Woodworth. And today we have a wonderful episode laid out. We have a returning guest, Christopher Lawrence. It's a pretty sad story about maiming his nether quadrant that you're going to want to hear. We also get into the loss of Shane Gillis losing his job by getting canceled, although when we recorded this, it was before he'd actually been fired by SNL. But most importantly, we are devastated and absolutely shocked and a little bit saddened by the loss of a great, talented man, star of The Devil's Rejects, House of a Thousand Corpses, Jackie Brown, and countless other films. That's right, we mourn the loss of Sid Haig. R.I.P., brother. R.I.P. Because you never really know what you got until it's gone. Anyway, brother, I hope you're up there, Sid Haig, and you're looking down at us and dressing down St. Peter at the gates for questioning you as you're trying to just stroll on in. We'll miss you, but you'll live forever in cinematic glory. And there's a House of a Thousand Corpses episode coming up soon, so glad you get to listen to it from heaven. Anyway, get strapped in, turn the volume up to 11, and get ready for Killer Clowns from Outer Space.
Hello, kiddies. It's your old pal, the Crypt Keeper. This is a big shout out to my friends at Quality Time Podcast.
This is the way I see life. There's bad things that happen, and I just treasure bad things. Yeah, really bad things. You know?
This is my song about 9/11.
This is my song.
That's like the song I wrote about this couple that I knew, and I was like, huh, your wife died.
That's a good bit.
It was all right. She overdosed on drugs.
That so. Dumb bitch.
Dumb whore.
Oh, man. Welcome. Lord. Welcome to the Quality Time Podcast and three people who will never make it to Saturday Night Live. My name is Eric Woodworth. Thank you for joining us here in the morning, in the evening, whenever you're listening to us. And I'm joined by our none other than my blood and my brother, Mr. Jeremy P.
Who are you talking about?
Okay. I'm sorry. Who is who's going to cancel
It is
us?
I am one of Kyoto Brothers.
Okay, this is good. That sounds like a Kyoto.
Yes, I'm from Japan. You call me Kyoto brother. Brother number one.
Oh, I like
By the way, I think they're actually Jewish guys. They have nothing to do with being Asian or Oriental.
Okay, so. Fair enough. I know that you come from a place in your heart that doesn't mean that to be mean, but it's horrible what you just said. Well, I like it, though, but it's horrible.
And I've actually met them, so.
Oh, okay, yes. Fair enough. And we have a special guest on today's episode. I think he's our first three-timer on the show.
Is that true?
Yeah, oh my gosh. Comedian extraordinaire.
You are practically a normal guest host.
Yeah. It's Chris Lawrence, everybody.
Hey,
he's
what's
back
going
once
on?
Again
I'm back.
On the
we
show. Hey, what's up, Chris?
Can I ask an important question?
Yeah, what's up, dude?
Are you related to Eve Lawrence?
No.
Okay, just making sure.
Are you related to Joey Lawrence?
Because I might be related to you otherwise.
Oh, yeah, there you go. Get your fucking dick sucked.
Oh.
I like that.
No.
Okay.
I'm not even related. But I did check if I was related to Jennifer Lawrence just in case that moment ever came. Just
nice.
In case.
Do you ever paint yourself in all blue makeup and run around naked?
Yes. And I wear denim jeans, too, just to throw it on for, there are dozens of us.
I'm a shape shifter, and then I'm in jail. So.
Well, it's good to have you back up to the show, Chris.
Thank you, man.
I'm excited to just have you here. You've had some, an eventful Saturday, the day before you got here. You were in the ER,
right? I was, yeah. So we're going to get into this.
What happened? Tell people why you had to go to the doctors.
See, what happened was, okay, so I'm on my way to a gig in Virginia in the afternoon. It was like a family style clean, like family style, like we're all doing a buffet. No, it was like a family show. So it's in the afternoon, and I'm in the car with my son and driving down 95, and I just picked up a cup of my favorite convenience store brand coffee. I don't know if I can say brand names on here, so it's a Regal. Mm-hmm. Farm
okay.
Convenience store. Anyway, so I got
CVS. I understand.
Exactly. Rite Aid. I got it from Rite Aid. I'm driving down Interstate 95 South, heading down to Virginia, and I'm in the second to the left lane, and I'm driving, and I take a sip, and the lid of the coffee just comes off, and just all the coffee just pours on my lap, like I'm the captain from Police Academy, like just it's just all over, you know. I'm
so scalding hot coffee on the old danglies.
On
right
the old
now.
Danglies, the as the British would call it, the bits.
Yeah, yeah.
the twigs and berries and just all over. I'm wearing jeans. My pants just instantly soak. There's steam coming off. I do one of those like standing sit things while
you arch your back from the thing as if that's gonna
it's gonna help.
That's gonna help.
Meanwhile,
just airing it out. The fucking scalding hot cauldron that you just poured on your dick.
Just and it's all of it. It's not just like, oh, I only did half. No, all of it was on my lap. And my son has got his headphones on, playing his iPad. He has no idea what just happened, okay? Damn noise-canceling headphones. And I'm, like, screaming, like, and I feel like the guy...
The sounds of a million of their brothers and sisters that'll never be born happening
just
right in the car.
Instantly boiled like the witches during the trials in the 1700s. Just instantly boiled to death. And anyway, so meanwhile, I'm on 95, and I'm doing 70 miles an hour, okay? And now I'm like, my brain disconnected from the pain. I put on the hazards, and I just... Now I'm just gingerly getting over to the right, like nothing happened. I get over, get onto the shoulder of the road, and I run out of my car. Like, it's not like I could take my pants off on the side of 95. So I'm out there just screaming at the top of my lungs, okay? My son... is still on his iPad, not realizing anything is happening. And I'm just like...
How old is your kid?
He's going to be 7 next month. Now, the juxtaposition between my son and my 9-year-old daughter, if this would have happened with my daughter in the car, she would have come to the front of the car and just crashed the car into the bridge impediment. Like, it would have been over. She is so anxious. She's like, Daddy's dying! And just, like, would have been dead. And so I get out. And my pants cool off, whatever, and I'm like, okay, I'm back in a headspace. I call the promoter of the show, and I'm like, hey, I'm going to be late. I just poured coffee over my lap. He's like, oh, okay, it's no worries. Just get here at 12:50. I'm like, okay. I call my wife, and she's like, yeah, you definitely need to go to the ER. I'm like, okay. So I turn around on 95. I call the promoter. He doesn't pick up. I leave a message. About 5 minutes down the road, the promoter's wife calls me. And she's like, Chris, what's the problem? And I'm like, well, I told your husband that I burnt myself, and it's a lot worse than I thought. I have to take myself to the ER. She's like, oh, I didn't realize that, but, you know, you are on the flyer. I'm like, yeah, everyone and their mother bought tickets to go to the comedy show in Woodbridge to see me. I'm really sorry.
My second degree burns weren't on the flyer.
Yeah,
okay?
Exactly.
That wasn't expected to come to the show tonight.
No. So I drive myself to the ER. I drop my son off with my wife in front of the hospital. Triage was a gem. They were very understanding of what happened. You know how, like, you ever, when you go to a doctor or a nurse, sometimes you're like, okay, just don't be attractive and have to look at my bits, right? So, like, the first nurse walked in, she's an older African-American woman. I'm like, okay, like, this is, it's like, just think of it as your grandmother looking, but no, not your grandmother, like, someone else's grandmother looking at your penis. Everything's fine, everything's fine.
Take you back to that time when you went to Catholic Mass, where the good preacher had to look at your cock for a couple of minutes.
So, I explained to her what happened, and at that point, she didn't ask to examine anything. But then I'm thinking, okay. But then in walks in another nurse, and later on, my wife has my, and I'm using the words my wife used, because my wife met this nurse later on in the story. My wife even described this nurse as a young, extremely attractive nurse. Okay. So in walks this young, extremely attractive nurse, and now they're both in there, and now they're like, okay, you have to show us where you got burned. So I'm like...
All right.
So well,
time to drop trowel.
Yeah. So I'm
ladies.
On the table. I'm on the table. This is the worst. This is the worst porno ever.
Meanwhile, your whole downstairs is shedding like a python right now. There's just a fucking layer of skin that's been removed.
My weenus looked like the dude's face from the Watchmen when Rorschach threw the fryer oil and the dude, you're not, I'm not locked in here with you. You're locked in here with me.
I was gonna say the guy who was in the toxic waste from Total Recall.
No, you're talking about RoboCop.
RoboCop. Yeah. Sorry, yeah. Not Total Recall.
Not that bad, but yeah, it was. My favorite death scene, I think, by the way, in a sci-fi movie. Anyway, so. They look at it, and she's like, okay, it's not too bad. I'm going to have to press down to see what degree burns they are, if they turn red or white. I'm like, really? She presses down. I'm like, okay, yep. But back in my head, I'm like, okay, well, I'm not a crazy person. I'm like, at least, like, I know there was damage, and I don't feel too bad, like, coming to the ER. We're like, in the ER, people that are coming in, like, have, like, head wounds and are, like, you know, like, on their deathbed. But with me, I'm like, okay, I don't feel too bad. But anyway... So she comes in, everything gets examined. They say a doctor's going to come. Okay, whatever. But then my wife comes to bring me new boxers and to bring me shorts. And I'm thinking she left the kids in the waiting room, right? No. The kids walk in to the – and I have a gown on covering – and I'm just sitting there. And my wife is just looking at me like oh, – like she almost had a sigh of like, this is payback, bitch. Like this is just – And I'm sitting there just like, you know, and the thing that I said to her that I regret, right, you know when you say things to your wife and you regret them instantly, like you want to grab the words back into your mouth? Like I said, yeah, now I kind of have an idea what it was like when you were giving birth. Yeah. And I was like, wait, because of the exposure. And she's like, oh, yeah, it's exactly the same. I'm like, okay, well, point you. But then my daughter just goes... Daddy, did you burn your penis? Did you burn your penis? And apparently what happened was my daughter was in dance class when this all went down. And my wife this is the best. My wife says to one of the other dance parents, hey, I have to go pick up my son for the emergency room. My husband has to go to the ER. If I'm running late, just please watch Olivia for me. And they're like, yeah, that's fine. So my wife picks up my son, brings him back to dance. My wife then goes to the bathroom at dance. My daughter comes out of the dance class, sees my son, and goes, why are you here? My son goes, Daddy burned himself in an accident. And then my wife said she heard my daughter from the bathroom go, Daddy's dead! My daddy's dead in an accident! Like, screaming in the thing. So, like... And then my wife just had a... My wife runs out of the bathroom and goes, no, he's not dead. He just got... He spilled coffee on himself. And I'm just singing. Everyone's sitting there go, how the hell does this kid go from my daddy's dead? It's a coffee accident. So, anyway, so I'm back in the hospital room. And my son just like, he's just sitting there going, I want to see it. I'm like, I'm not going to show it.
I can't show my child my cock, right?
Like, no, this isn't like, how... It's not
wait
medical.
Till we get home.
Hey, Daddy, can you show me your bird ass dick right now? Show me it, please.
Okay.
Daddy, pull out your bird dick so I can tell my friends.
So I guess, should I like warn people what I'm about to say is kind of explicit? So what I'm about to say. So
yeah, you're right. Now's the time to warn
people.
get to the
sex. It hasn't been explicit
part.
Up to this part. Well, but now is the
sex-cellent.
Time.
This is probably the most I've ever been open about talking about my junk. So anyway, so during the initial, I forgot to tell you guys, during the initial examination, when the attractive nurse was looking at it, I have a blister on it that had already burst.
No,
just
no,
listen. Just
no,
listen.
No,
this
no,
is the
this
best.
Has nothing
part.
To do with the burn, right?
No. That's kind of the joke. She looks at it and she points to it. She points to the blister and goes, "Is that new?"
I'm like, yeah,
because I usually have open blisters on my penis on the regular. Like, as a matter of fact, yes.
Only when hot nurses go, "Oh, I'm about to bust," and your fucking blister pops.
And that cauliflower isn't new either.
Yeah. Ooh. Yeah.
Oh,
let's just say I had a great August, if you know what I mean.
Oh, God.
So anyway, they show me how to wrap the wound and how to treat it.
Oh shit.
So they show me how to take care of it, and they told me that I have to check in with. She said, "Okay." So the nurse comes back. She's like, "I talked to the doctor. It's kind of a superficial burn. You've blanched the area." I'm like, "Blanched the area? What is it, asparagus?" She's like, "You blanched it, but we recommend you put this cream on there, and you should follow up with the burn unit at Bayview because it is a sensitive area." I'm like, "You're damn right, it's a sensitive area." So they show me how to wrap it. And then after all of that, like, my wife comes in and I show her, I'm like, "Hey, babe, look, it's like it's never been used before. It's in its new packaging." So anyway, so long story
short,
everything's
fine. So your new fresh dark man cock comes out. Did you go home and it looks like it's bandaged up like the mummy? Is that how they send you home?
Yeah, kind of. It looks, Yeah.
I just love thinking about that, that moment when both of the nurses were just looking at you as they applied that lotion for 5 minutes straight.
They applied it directly on the gauze. They didn't even... Actually, the older nurse was so lovely. She was like, "Listen, I'll just let you do this on your own if you want." I'm like, "I don't know what the hell I'm doing. You're going to..." She's like, "Okay, I just wanted to give you your privacy." I'm like, "Well, you're just going to have to show me because I have no idea what I'm doing." Yeah. But
so you made it through, man.
I did make it through. I appreciate it. I posted online with
you still
people.
You still have a cock. You're still living.
I do.
Jeremy, I've heard that you made a special song for our guest tonight, Mr.
Really,
Chris Lawrence.
But it's a good bit. I'm going to have a good bit.
I would
after
really
this.
Hate to think that somebody actually wrote a song about your dick.
Oh, my God. Starting off like the Roots a little bit.
Hot coffee.
I want hot coffee.
Who wants hot coffee in their crotch? Who wants hot coffee? Who wants hot coffee in their crotch?
Jeremy, you are hip hop.
Chris Lawrence wants hot coffee.
I don't want hot coffee.
Chris Lawrence wants hot coffee in his crotch.
That scream is the best part of this.
Eric wants hot coffee.
What the fuck? What are you talking about?
Eric wants hot coffee in his crotch.
There's a theme to this.
Is Jeremy next?
Jeremy wants hot coffee.
Yes, I want hot coffee.
Of course.
Jeremy wants hot coffee in his anus. Jeremy wants hot coffee in his anus.
Oh, you sweet, magical, musical man, you.
Feel the burn. Of a coffee
it
on your genitals
it really hurts.
And your anus. Feel the burn.
I like that you went genitals and anus, like right on the nose.
On your genitals and your anus. Oh yeah.
Oh my God! And you ended it like Ferris Bueller. They bow, wow. Bum, 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 bum,
bum, bum, bum, bum, bum. When the drum beat's over, that's when the song is over.
Jeremy, what a magical song you brought for us this evening.
I gotta tell
you,
I am just honored. I mean that. That's amazing.
I love any song where I can just scream my heart out because I've really had a bad
day. That's your scream? That you didn't like walk into a Spirit Halloween store and record those screams?
Usually if I record in the basement, the wife is questioned into which I-beam I've run my head into.
Oh, okay.
Or like, no, what, he's recording today.
Or what child you've abducted and make screams.
I have a low beam in my basement where I'd hit on the regular until finally I put flashing lights on it. And I'll still hit it on the regular.
Oh, so. My God. That's amazing.
Because I'm a moron.
Well, that's a good bit, Jeremy.
So
thanks.
I like to call that hot coffee and crotch. So.
Before we get into tonight's topic, yeah. Should we bring up shout-out Shane Gillis real quick? Shout-outs.
Shout-out.
Congrats on getting the nod. I got to work with Shane on two separate occasions. Great person. Already been canceled. Don't know if he's going to actually make it to the SNL thing at this point. Listen.
Well, why don't you tell some of the listeners who may not be...
If you don't know who Shane Gillis is, he's a very, very talented comedian from the Pennsylvania area who has said some things on a podcast, which you can 100% hear on the Quality Time podcast.
from Jerry's mouth. Yeah.
Very similar bits that Jeremy has said, and probably me at one time. I'm not really sure, but...
Actually, Jeremy's Kyoto Brothers bit was pretty much on the money, I think, with one of Shane's comments.
Yeah, very strong.
I love colored people too.
So
Jesus Christ.
Shane got the nod for SNL and
as a
featured performer on SNL. There's three new cast members announced, and he immediately got canceled by Twitter and some other folks online that found a part of his podcast where he's talked about Chinatown and used the word chinks specifically to describe.
It's perfectly all right if you're talking about chains or something.
Yeah. No. Talking about a whole race of people. Yeah. And he got canceled. And it's still up in the air if he's going to actually make it onto the main show. We're not sure. But if you try to defend what he said, it's not really defensible, but my only defense would be this. Listen, as a comedian, you're going to do over a couple hours of content a week until you get that big tap that maybe you make it to the mainstream. Shane has made that, but he also said some fucking horrible things. And I got to be honest with you, listen, it was what he said. Particularly funny? No, it's not particularly funny. I can't say it was a good joke, but listen, comedians are going to talk about the taboo, and the taboo of today is talking about race and saying racial slurs. I mean, that's the biggest taboo you can talk about, and the cancel culture is in this spot where it's like, he said that, so you support this? I'm like,
exactly.
Listen, does that mean I support this by saying it was okay he said that? No, I don't support what he said, but I support the art making process. I can tell you this, as working with Shane, there's nothing. Shane's not trying to take down the Asian population. Like, he doesn't want fucking
he's not
people
Godzilla.
Of color in chains. That's not what he's out to do.
No.
So,
we understand
the idea,
that he makes fun of Chinese descent people, because if he makes kind of fun of blacks, he'll get beaten up.
Yeah. He didn't. So. He didn't do a hard R N word. But listen,
Chinese people can
at
handle
the same
it,
time.
Except
I'm
when
all
they
about,
come out with them fucking fighting moves.
I'm all about Jesus being Christ. Able to explain yourself, and I'm all about exploring the taboo to find the funny. And in podcasts, you're on for an hour or two every single week trying to do content, and you're going to explore things that are uncomfortable.
Yes,
partly for ratings and partly for catching people's eye and a shock value. And he's doing the same things that multiple other podcasts do. Come Town and other places do this stuff. Jeremy Woodworth does it every single sentence he speaks.
Plus, you go to a place like Magoobies and you like look around and you
scan the audience like you have to now, and then you say, like, hey, bunch of fucking Amish shed builders out here.
Yeah, got them good. Yeah, because all the Amish crowd really comes out. The reason he's there, guys, is because he earned it. I mean, he earned it by winning multiple comedy competitions. He was
including
Magoobies.
Yep.
He's Magoobies Comedian of the Year, what, 2 years ago, 3 years ago? Everybody who's on that list is also super talented. Stavros, Donnie Senstek,
Ian.
The left is so fucking strong that if you say this and you're okay with saying that, then you're trash. And I don't think that's right, because I think you can say things for shock value and also not want the eradication of an entire race. Like you understand, like there's a fucking...
The bright line is this. The bright line to me is... I didn't mean to interrupt your point. Keep in mind, this falls right in line with what Chappelle said in his last sketch. It's like, hey... Kevin Hart is a perfect person minus three tweets. To me, Shane Gillis, very funny dude. I agree with you about the point of you're making content. You're sitting there. You're spitting out stuff. I love the band Fish. You go and you see the band Fish. No, listen. Listen, you go and see the band Fish to watch them produce music on the spot. They jam. Mm-hmm. That's what you're doing on a podcast. You're just bantering, find something to say. Yes. I don't necessarily think what Shane said in those couple of clips calling Andrew Yang a Jew F, word for homosexual. I don't think that's funny, but I do know that Shane is a funny comedian. Do I think that Shane is a racist? No, I don't think Shane is a racist in the few interactions I've had with him. To me, these statements were made in an attempt at jest. They weren't made in an attempt at harm. They weren't made in an attempt maliciously or anything like that. To me,
bearded dude who looks like he's from the show Duck Dynasty and he says those things, then yeah, I feel like that's fucking inappropriate.
If Shane was walking around with a tiki Shane's torch in Charlottesville saying those things, then I'd say, yes, Shane's
not
a racist.
But he's not that guy. I mean, he's coming from a point of irony, which I think is funny. Ironic racism is still very funny because it's poking fun at the people who are that way, and I don't think Shane is that way.
No.
Now, could I be proven wrong? I mean, well, yeah, I'm sure. If his heart really is that way, then that's the case. But he's already said he's not out here trying to promote white nationalism. Like, what? So, what's your point? And this is just me as a person. Like, if I shit on you and I shit on you as a person, it actually means I like you. Do you understand that? Like, Chris, you were just here. You told this very heartfelt story about how you ruined your penis by pouring fucking hot Arabica beans all over your torso.
And it was actually blue Jamaican roast.
Way I know that I like you is that I was immediately ready to shit on that fact, okay? Yeah. So the way I'm really endeared to anybody that I ever meet is by shitting on them. Okay. That's how I know I'm comfortable enough with you. If I can make fun of every facet of your life. So to somebody listening to this podcast right now, they're going to listen to it and go, what a fucking monster that he wants to hurt somebody. He thinks pain is love. And I'm like, no, I mean, listen, pain is fucking pleasure. I mean, that's the world that I live in. It's like shitting on somebody and tearing them down, but at the same time building them back up as like, dude, you're my fucking friend and I love you to death.
Keep in mind, these statements are being told by someone who played rugby in college and has a mullet currently.
I have a mullet. I have a mullet, but it's a mullet for a cause. So,
oh well, there you go.
Some kid with cancer is going to be rocking this in 2021.
I can't wait. I can't wait.
I didn't want to say anything till now, but maybe this is a revelation to you guys.
Here we go. Here we go.
I'm ready.
Here's Jeremy's statement that will make sure he doesn't get on Saturday Night Live. Right,
we're going to be on Vulture in about 5 seconds.
Now that he's going on Saturday Night Live, I'm going to have to come out and say that I was at a party 35 years ago and Shane Gillis raped me.
Yes, finally.
I was just,
by the way, he's like 34, that's cool.
I was driving around like Pennsylvania once, where I think he lives, and I went to a party, and I'm pretty sure he raped me. So I don't think he should be on Saturday Night Live either.
No, that's fair enough. I mean, that's a hot take. I like that.
You say he's 34?
Yeah.
It was 30 years ago.
It was 30 years ago. He was 4 year old. Yeah. This 4 year old.
Wait, I'm 2 years older than Shane Gillis, and Shane's got an SNL. Fuck Shane Gillis. Yes, he's racist.
My best thing was this guy also said, well, you should just give it to somebody else who hasn't said these things. And I was just like...
In public.
And the thing is, I still think Shane has earned his spot. Yep. He's done the work. And I'm sure these other people that you claim are really, really funny that you didn't name will get their shot. If they keep working, they'll get their shot and they'll do it. And you need look no further than the other two hires that SNL did this season.
Yes.
So
the first, by the way... Asian player ever, by the way.
Yeah.
No, seriously. On SNL. No, I'm not. Yeah. No, I'm not making a joke. I mean, like, that's a true statement.
I know.
The first
before this, it was just
Plus
Bobby
he's
Lee.
Asian.
Right?
Bobby Lee was on Fox.
Was a Mad TV guy. And yeah. So now, thanks NBC for finally hiring an Asian person.
Yeah. You're just 15 years behind Mad TV. Good job.
Guys, are you ready to get into tonight's topic?
How?
I mean, oh. Hey!
Did you mean to do that?
Yes.
Okay. Yes. Right off Jump Street.
Well, yeah, tonight.
I can barely hear it.
No, you got
it. There it
is. Tonight, it's 1987's classic, The Killer Clowns from Outer Space. Guys, man, this is a heavy hitter that we're going over tonight.
Oh, this, like I told you, I was honored when you asked me to be on this one.
I mean, for a movie with no titties, this is a pretty good horror film. And very little gore for the most part.
Oh, there's like almost zero gore in this movie. Except like maybe the blood coming out of the straw.
Yeah, that's about it. Or you peel back the cotton candy, it's a little bloody. But this is, by the way, is there a better opening song than this?
I love the fact that this is
what I was
going to
say
song.
Is this song, by the way, this movie did not deserve this amazing song.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know who they got, but like, I don't know who performs this, but it's an amazingly good song. Like, this could be a single.
It is. It's really good.
I put it right up there with the song for the theme for Nukem High.
Oh, wow.
Nukem High.
Yeah, I mean, like, the riffs, like, the singing. Like, this is a great... Like, yesterday after watching this movie, I just had this song in my head the whole day. It's a good song.
Do you ever think, like people who are juggalos watch this and are like, this is our culture, it's not a joke?
That's also, it's almost as good as the song for Hellraiser, too. Hellraiser, it's more than a puzzle box, yeah. Hellraiser, don't turn those things around, yeah.
Like, juggalos watch that and they're like, this is our Dianetics. This is it. This is the Thetan count. This is it. Every part of this.
Well, what I can say about Killer Clowns from Outer Space, for something that should be such a horrible B movie, its production level is actually fucking amazing. Like the puppets, the guys, all of the Killer Clowns from Outer Space in this movie actually look fucking phenomenal. They have some great.
The mouths move. The faces move. They're not just like just static masks.
They even have a legit actor in John Vernon who plays.
I was going to talk about him.
Chief Mooney.
Yep.
I mean, this guy.
You college kids.
This is a legit guy. He's been in what?
Animal House.
Yeah, Animal
Dirty
House.
Dirty Harry. He was Mr. Big and I'm going to Get You Sucker. He was the bad guy in Ernest Goes to Camp. This guy is in the Mount. No. This guy's in the Mount Rushmore of assholes in 70s, 80s, and 90s films. He's right up there. He's up there with William Atherton from Die Hard and Ghostbusters. He's up there with Billy Zabka.
I'm on there.
Who is, what's his face? The bad guy from Karate Kid. And actually, oh, God, who is the fourth guy that I had noted on here? James Tolkien. James Tolkien is the bald-headed guy that was the principal in Back to the Future. Cop from Masters of the Universe. He's up there. That's the pantheon. That's the Mount Rushmore of assholes in the 70s, 80s. And John Vernon is the president. I mean, this guy, the fact that they grabbed him for this movie, I know, is...
It's amazing.
You see him
in
it, he's like... out of this whole entire movie, he's probably like the legitimately the best actor, like this, by like a land, like,
and this,
like, slide.
This moment in his career, it definitely cost them several hundreds of more dollars to get this actor.
Yeah, yeah.
Than any other normal actors.
Hey, do you think we can get John Vernon? Who the fuck is John
That's
Vernon?
That's going to cost at least another $500.
They're like, well, William Atherton is filming Die Hard 2 right now.
So, the movie starts off and we briefly get to meet our town cop, John Vernon, who plays Officer Mooney. And then we head out to the Makeout Hill, which is basically the town place where everybody, all the teens go out to fucking fuck around. But they're all 30 years old in this movie. There's nobody who's a teenager. There is full bush on every person on top of this mountain, and as everybody's trying to make out, we see an ice cream truck that rolls up out of nowhere.
I'm Jojo, the ice cream clown with the bestest ice cream in town. We'll give you the stick, you give it a lick, and it'll tickle you all the way down. Ice cream, we brought our goodies here to you. A tasty treat for while you screw. Let's take a break.
Hey, you morons. Hey, take your ice cream and get lost.
Oh, yeah?
Quiet down, speaker.
So you don't want any ice cream? Well, you're not getting any.
You were getting it before you showed up.
Those guys, man. What?
Oh, so these guys are making their ploy to sell ice cream to very horny teenagers, and it's not working, their business plan.
What town is this supposed to take place in? Because I've heard a southern accent. I've heard like three New York City accents.
Yeah, yeah. We don't know.
Like, hey, don't what know. Are you doing over here? I'm trying to get some poontang.
Hey, welcome to the conglomerate small town. Hey! Trying to eat my fucking cannolis over here.
Excuse me, partner. Can you please allow me to get my dick sucked, please? Hey, capiche?
So those two basically get run off, but they try to park their car up there, and it's revealed that the two guys driving the ice cream truck, they got two BBWs, big, beautiful women that are just eating ice cream back there, and they're not DTF. They're ladies that are proper Christian women that are not going to fuck over some ice cream.
You're not going to take my shirt off.
Yeah, so unfortunately for these guys, they're not getting laid up there.
Nope,
so.
They're not getting. By the way, did Twisted Metal did they get inspiration for Sweet Tooth off of this truck?
That's a possibility. I could see that, right?
Because I've never seen another ice cream truck with the clown on top like that.
Well, the only other situation where I could see an ice cream truck of somebody who's a monster would be from the Image Comics. That would be the Spawn series.
Oh, yeah.
Billy Kincaid, who is a child killer that drives an ice cream truck. But that's...
around the same time as Twisted Metal came
about
out.
About the same time, so I could see them possibly... I'd have to look at
Twisted
the dates,
Metal.
But I could see some of
the video game
inspiration.
Wasn't until like
from.
Maybe...
Mid-90s?
98?
90, no, 95? Really?
I think so.
Let's consort the internet.
Because the first Twisted Metal 1,
maybe 96 at earliest.
Okay. Well, I didn't mean to throw us off. I didn't even want to talk about that, but it just occurred to me with the clown on top.
Okay, so the first Twisted Metal game came out in 1995.
Oh, okay.
Let's see, Spawn number one. Let's see where that came out.
Oh, Billy Kincaid was...
And Spawn number one came out in 1992. So it's feasible to think that Twisted Metal drew their inspiration from Killer Clowns and from the Spawn series,
yeah.
I would say.
I think this movie starts off great, by the way. Frames up the characters immediately.
Right. Like, shortly after this, we meet our two lovebirds, Mike and Debbie, who are clearly 35-year-old people that are trying to play teenagers on Love Makeout Hill. And they actually look up, and they see a comet fly overhead. It flies over top of them. It's super fucking beautiful. Deb wants to go check it out. And the very horny Mike is like, no, let's just stay here and fucking... Let me me play hide the peen real quick and
let me get in the bone zone.
She's not down with that, but it ultimately crashes near a local farmer. It crashes onto his land, and he sees it come down, and we hear this little audio here.
Did you see that little old sky jockey zip down in there, Pooh? Yes. And he's coming, and he's landed in our backyard! There's going to be thousands of people!
Was Jed Clampett not available for this?
They're going to have hot dogs! They're going to have helicopters!
So,
if only Ernest could have been in this film.
God.
By the way, I'm so happy that you brought that up. I'm going to go off on a side real quick. Do you guys mind if I go off?
No, go off on a side. Get off, brother.
So, this movie has more to do with the Ernest universe than you'd care to think about.
The Ernest multiverse.
First off, John Vernon, like I had mentioned before, was the bad guy, Kramer, in the first Ernest movie, Ernest Goes to Camp. He was the guy trying to log the forest. He stole it from Iron Eyes Cody. By the way, not a real Native American. And then the other piece of this movie that relates back to the Ernest world is the Chodios brothers, the brothers Chodios, however you want to say it.
I say Kyoto either way.
Kyoto? Oh, the Kyoto brothers? Yeah. That's how you... Oh!
Sorry, I think it's spelled... Or
well,
pronounced.
There's a band named Kyotos that's after... But anyway, so the Kyotos brothers, they did the puppeteering work
Team
on...
America.
What? No,
Team
not
America.
On Team America. On yeah, Ernest. Well, I'm just saying,
oh,
but on Ernest Scared Stupid. So these guys also did. And you could see that in the final boss battle in this movie, the big puppet that comes down. You could see, oh, that's the troll all over the place. So these guys did that, and they did the random squirrel dioramas from Dinner for Schmucks with Steve Carell. But when I read that these guys also did Ernest Scared Stupid, I'm like, oh my God, like. Like, how? What other Ernest movies can we tie back to this movie? But there's the two, John Vernon and
the Ernest verse is a very big topic of
the
Quality Time
hey,
podcast.
Hey, Vern. The Ernest multiverse.
Yeah.
So the farmer gets to the site of the crash before our lovers Deb and Mike do, and as he rolls up, we hear him say this.
Well, I'll be greased and fried. What in blue blazes the circus doing up in these parts? Yeah, I love the circus. Come on, maybe we can get us some free passes.
I love him playing an older Stephen King in this film. So
what he sees is a giant lit up circus tent in the middle of the woods.
By the way, like light, like bright yellow and red.
Yeah, it's just beautiful.
Yeah,
it's just
it's
beautiful.
Gorgeous. It's a gorgeous tent.
So as the farmer walks up outside the spaceship, a portal opens up and a clown snatches the dog with his hound dog out from
Pooh
under
Bear.
Him with a net. The farmer goes and punches the tent and finds it to be hard as a fucking rock. Furiously, he goes and screams,
"Where's my dog? Where's my Pooh Bear? I'll tear this thing apart with my bare hands!"
So he touches one of the strands that's holding down it, and it gets shocked horribly. And then all of a sudden,
this thing is wired.
A giant clown then appears with a little zap ray, comes before him, and then zaps this motherfucker.
And you don't know what happens. You don't know what happens.
Enveloped with pink light, and it's the end of the scene right there. So, now, meanwhile, back to the police station, Officer Mooney has brought a couple of local punks into the station.
From the college.
For drinking wine in the park. And Officer Dave, who's the cool officer.
Because, by
is...
the way, this Officer Dave, Kyle MacLachlan, was busy making Dune. So they found his blonde, less able to actor
less able to act,
yeah.
The only sad thing is that the two punks weren't either Charlie Sheen or Robert Downey Jr.
I mean, apparently, the only thing Officer Dave has a problem with is him just beating the shit out of these two innocent people. And I'm like, I don't get it. He's just trying to do good police work right now. So
he's like, you two kids are from the college, right? Well, just why are you just drinking on campus?
What do you mean? College kids drink? You fucking monsters. So there's obviously a little bit of tension between Officer Moon and Officer Dave. Now, Deb and Mike slowly make their way to the crash site. They find it, and Mike wants to check it out, and Deb is not down to go into this random fucking tent in the middle of the woods. She gives in ultimately, and they walk right in the front door of this this thing. And it's a bizarre hallway. It's great set design. It looks as if like Tim Burton and went into a fucking whimsical fucking clown ship. It looks like Star Trek meets a fucking fun house. Is what it looks
it
like.
It looked
when
like
they
the end scene in Supergirl. Remember that film. So
inside the spaceship, we hear Deb and Mike talk about this.
This is that new wave European circus fantastique.
Yeah, let me stick my dick in you now. Thanks.
Hurry, step right up. See the circus bizarro. Come one, come all. Step right up, little lady. Don't be shy. Don't be stupid. Come see the incredible Miss 50-50. Half man, half woman. The perfect double date.
Yeah. Out walks Caitlyn Jenner.
Whoa, they're called trans, pal. Like, calm down. Are you trying to get canceled already? Jesus.
Yeah, jeez.
So
he
makes
the circus.
No SNL for you, Mike Tobacco.
Yeah. So they make some more horrible jokes, and they decide to go check out the end of the hallway where there's three unmarked doors. They walk into one of them as they get sucked into the room and into this giant chasm room.
There's a roll in somewhere.
They see like this endless cavern that goes down. That goes way deep down into the ground. It's just a massive room. It looks very much like the scene in Star Wars where they like swing across like that. Very much taken off.
It's the final countdown.
Yeah. This is no circus. This is a space station.
So there's also a weird electric ball that's
like
one
from
of those,
Spencer's
like, guest. Yeah, like one of those Spencer's guest ball that's like powering the whole spaceship. It's fucking ridiculous looking. But very cool, very rock and roll looking. I love the general aesthetic of the movie up until this part. And so they head back out into the main hall, and a shadow starts to approach, and they decide to go hop in another door to evade whatever this thing is. And this room that they go into is filled with like giant heavy bag cotton candy that's hung all over the place.
By the way, I just want to say this piece here is like, you know, after, you know, I hadn't watched this movie in years, but when you told me to watch this movie, the one thing I still will remember from Killer Clowns from Outer Space, no matter what, I may not remember the plot details, I'll always remember the cotton candy.
That's some of the best
iconography, I think, in a film like that. Just bright pink, like you'll always remember what those cocoons look like. Like that, that's the sign of like they were onto something here, man. Like I really do appreciate what they had going on in terms of set details and stuff like that. And this, again, you'll always remember. Like you don't remember much about this movie, but to me, like the cotton candy was like, yeah.
So
to me, the star of the film is of course Suzanne, the actress, because she'll always be the chick that gets the shotgun in the face by Chet. In Weird Science.
Oh, yeah.
With the girlfriend. And,
nice.
Which, when I talked to her, I was like, what was it like having that gun in your face and everything? So, probably one of the real start-out roles for Bill Paxton other than Terminator.
And
so.
she's like, can you please ask me that question without an erection, sir? Yeah. Thank you.
Sir, can you calm your erection right now? Do I need to spill coffee on your torso to make this stop? So,
how much does it cost for me to put a gun in your face?
As they walk in, we hear this audio clip here.
I don't believe in UFOs. But if they do exist, then we're trapped in one right now.
I mean, will you just calm down? There's got to be a logical explanation for this.
This isn't what you think it is. Nobody stores cotton candy like this.
What are you talking about? Of course it is.
You're right. No one stacks books like this.
So Mike,
I'd really have to rewrite this so they look at each other. This isn't a spaceship. This is a clown ship.
So Mike takes his hand and peels back a piece of the cotton candy to reveal a horribly bloody face within. Yeah. It's very, very
looks
scary.
Looks like a drunken Irishman.
So all of a sudden, a clown enters carrying another giant cotton candy. Our lovers go to hide, but are spotted very quickly and decide to make a run for it. Now, one of the clown who comes in grabs a rifle that is loaded up with popcorn and chases after them, spraying large blasts across their backs. They exit, and another clown decides to go track them down and makes a balloon animal dog that basically acts as a bloodhound that can just track them through the woods, this made-up dog, which is, God, you know, I love how true they stay to clown lore.
Everything.
You know, it's just everything is clown-oriented, and it's very beautiful.
The ray guns, I mean, that... Again, there was a lot of thought put into this film. Like, there was so much thought.
We're getting close to the most important part of being a clown, which is putting handcuffs behind your back.
So. Yeah. Yeah, that's a good bit. That's a good bit.
It's getting there.
So, speaking of clowns putting their behind their back, we're going to take a brief commercial break before we hop back into the show. But while we're gone, here, listen to this beautiful audio that Jeremy Woodworth made.
Clowns don't come from outer space. They don't use fancy ray guns. Clowns are people like you and me, and they really love kids. Clowns work hard in the crawl space. The crawl space, the crawl space. Clowns work hard in the crawl space. The crawl space, the crawl space. Clowns like to act like cops. They like to do little tricks. Like to put handcuffs on you from behind. Then they strangle you with rope. Clowns work hard in the crawl space. The crawl space, crawl space. Clowns work hard in the crawl space. The crawl space, crawl space. The crawl space, the crawl space. Clowns work hard in the crawl space. Putting things away in the crawl space before they stink too bad. Gotta take care of the people you've molested for weeks.
And we're back, everybody. Woo! Oh, man. Jeremy, welcome, what a spotlight. Wonderful song that you put on for us about clowns and basements and cellars. I feel like it came from a spot of knowledge.
Yeah, you know, this whole idea of clowns from outer space, it's clowns from crawl space. Mm-hmm. So, you know.
I do appreciate the. We're probably going to get to it later in the synopsis about the theory that's had about the clowns and all that, so I'll wait. But
okay,
another great thing about cosplaying a clown, there's a lot of chicks out there that really dig the clown makeup and really want to have sex with you. So,
by the way, for the record, everyone, when Jeremy talks about quote cosplaying the clown, he means he's cosplaying as John Wayne Gacy's.
Yeah,
yep, makes me very popular.
What's
I've gotten
his, what's
a lot of
name?
Gigs from it. John Wayne.
No,
Pogo.
No, Pogo.
Pogo.
Pogo the clown.
Pogo
the clown. Yeah.
Or John Wayne. So
that's a good good bit. Good bit, Jeremy. You know,
I put
that.
The gay in Gacy. So
so did he.
It's okay to be Gacy.
So where we left off, our two heroes, Deb and Mike, were running away from the clowns in their spaceship. They're barely able to get away. They actually hit two of the clowns in the process. But as they drive away...
they get shot with the popcorn.
Yeah, they get shot with the popcorn. They're followed by the inflatable dog that a guy blows up. And they're able to hit two of the clowns with their car. But as they roll away... they get up like nothing happened, which I just think this is cool music. And the clowns start to get together and head into town because shit's about to pop off with the killer clowns.
So good. So good.
It sounds so much like a real violin, I can't tell if it's a synthesizer.
when they go into town, that's like that's where this movie just second act, motherfuckers.
Hell yeah. So next, a couple head to the police station. Mike and Deb head to the police station to tell the cool cop Dave about the killer clown situation. Dave is not dismissive about all of it. He's a little bit confused, but he's willing to hear them talk. But Officer Mooney is not having any of this at all.
It was not a circus tent. It was something else.
What?
It was a spaceship, and there was these things. Killer clowns, and they shot popcorn at us. We barely got away.
Killer clowns from outer space.
Holy title.
Hello, hello.
Uh-oh, we have a titular line alert!
Yeah!
Titular line!
What a view to a kid.
Titular line, everybody.
Man,
titular
I'm so
line.
Tired of all this traffic. I just wish we could get out of Africa.
good bit, Jerry. Good bit.
Did John Vernon put in his contract, I want to say the title of the movie?
The best thing God is in any movie, it. When you say the titular line, you just look right into the camera. Like, Attack of the Killer Clowns.
Yeah, so. Yes. It's like
you mean Killer Clowns from Outer Space? Sorry.
So
did we talk about the release?
It's like David Caruso and like and oh god, what was it? CSI. It's like looks like we got our man. Looks like these are killer clowns from outer space. Bow!
Looks like we got ourselves a real Jade situation. It's my favorite David Caruso line from the movie Jade.
Did anybody notice? Did anybody notice?
Looks like this is Die Hard with a Vengeance.
Did anybody notice while watching this, supposedly in October, they're supposed to have the sequel to Killer Clowns
from
Outer Space in 3D?
You know, what's
Sci-Fi Channel, right?
Hey, what's your...
Does it smell like Sci-Fi Channel? Yes.
This.
What's your Mount Rushmore of titular lines? Because personally, my one is, man, I love this place, but finally we have a sisterhood of the traveling pants. That's my favorite titular line.
I actually said my favorite titular line while you were playing the song. So my favorite is when Christopher Walken says, no, when Grace Jones says, what a view, and Walken goes, to a kill. And you're just watching and going, what the fuck does that even mean? You're like, what does that even mean, Christopher Walken?
Excuse me over there, what is that?
Oh, that's my little octopussy. So.
And I don't know, I didn't make the time for this, but did anybody make the time to see the killer clowns from Kansas on crack?
No, nope. I haven't seen that.
Again, are we talking about the Insane Clown Posse? What are we?
ICP? Yeah, I've been to ICP Fayo! Concert.
Which I think was made like 2014. Didn't get to see it, though. So
Mooney discredits their story, saying it's some ploy by the ice cream salesman. But Officer Dave, who is who's young and practical, he decides to go check out what Deb and Mike are talking about. But next, we see a young Chad-clad kid in a pink sweater come up to a gazebo in the park to see an odd puppet show that's going on that ends with one of the puppets zapping another one with a ray. He's very tickled by all of this, but quickly one of the killer clowns emerges from behind the little makeshift puppet show stage, and the unsuspecting viewer of this gets zapped into cotton candy. So, meanwhile, the local drugstore, another clown is going through and making an absolute mess, zapping people into cotton candy left and right, leaving the bewildered pharmacist watching, going, "Oh, you shouldn't do that," in shock. We then see a brief montage of the clowns zapping people all around town. They just seem to open the door for any maniacal clown in this town. Yeah. Like, if somebody knocks on the door, like, we answer it to see what it is. And they use the candy bit, pizza. It all just seems to work within this frame.
It's like the Kyoto brothers were like, yeah, we saw the movie Gremlins. We know how to do this shit.
Yes.
Yeah.
So we find out that Officer Dave and Deb have a little bit of a history. They're exes. And they drop Deb off at home while the two men go off to check out the crash site that they had seen
Dave's
earlier.
Like, you know I hit it first, right?
Yeah, yeah. I fucked her first, you fucking loser. And meanwhile, the clowns are just ransacking the drugstore in town, doing tons of clown stuff, finding shaving cream, squeezing it, and just causing a general riot there. Mike and Dave get to the where the circus tent was, and it's fucking gone. So Dave immediately arrests Mike. Next, they see some badass bikers as the smallest clown. We see some badass bikers as the smallest of the killer clowns rolls up on like his little fucking tricycle, and we hear this.
This is so good. Oh my god.
Excuse me. May I help you?
Oh, I might have made a too long of a clip here.
All right, we're going up there to check this out. Yeah, that's right.
May I please speak to my gods?
Oh, is that what you're telling me?
Yes, sir.
Do it, cock.
Here it is.
Is that a new bike you got?
What's happening, Spike?
So here's these badass bikers.
So good.
Big Bad Jojo coming into town.
Watch this, baby.
Is that bike too big for you?
Okay. This biker comes over, takes the little clown's bike, smashes it in front of him. This little clown is not fucking happy about this
at all.
And then all of a sudden jumps up, disappears, and comes back with a pair of boxing gloves. And as he comes in front of this biker, we hear this.
What are you going to do?
Knock my block off.
And he does just that. He knocks that fucking biker's head clear off circa Jason 8. Yeah. Takes Manhattan. Very, very callback to that film.
My favorite kill, by the way, in that entire series.
Yeah, you know, I tagged you on the all-time Friday the 13th.
I'm sorry, I was
kills.
In the ER yesterday.
We don't care about your fucking coffee story.
Oh, I spilled coffee on myself.
Did you? I will show you my penis.
I would assume this was after Jason Takes Manhattan.
Do you think so?
No, Manhattan.
This is 88.
That's why I said it was a callback. This is 87.
When did Manhattan come out?
I don't know. Here we go.
I'm assuming it's 87.
Jason Takes...
By the way, they didn't show up in Manhattan until like 20 minutes till the end of the fucking movie.
1989. So this is predates. Oh. It predates it. So they stole it from them.
Kane Hodder was like, listen, I saw this great movie. I'm going to knock one of these kids' head off.
So the clowns have killed yet again, and they've already showed that the badass bikers of this small town that just has every type of person possible,
every type.
It doesn't matter.
The Rainbow Coalition bikers. So
next, we see some local moms enjoying a family dinner at the local burger joint, which is also clown-themed. They have so many clown-themed things in this town.
They were asking for it. They were
for
it.
So
who are the killer clowns from outer space? They're coming to the clown town.
Yes. So. Welcome to Clown, Missouri, home of the clown.
Can you imagine if the killer clowns landed in the town that Mel Gibson lived in Signs? Like, just imagine what that would, that whole situation. Just,
our prices are rock bottom. In fact, you could say they're juggalo.
Mel Gibson was like, I don't give a shit what these Jew clowns want. Just get him out of here.
So
going on SNL, by the way.
At this local place,
you're making fun of Mel Gibson.
We see one of the kids starts playing peekaboo with one of the killer clowns through the window. It beckons her outside as it awaits with a very large mallet behind its back, ready to fucking Tiny Toons this fucking little kid. But mom yokes her up before she can get smashed by the hammer and see what a monster this clown is. Now, on the way back to the station, Dave and Mike drive back and they go past a car accident. Dave stops to go check out this car accident and finds that the Jeep is filled with cotton candy-like spider webs all over the place. And he's seen enough. He now believes Mike is not bullshitting him because he saw one cotton candy-filled truck with random glasses in it. He was like, maybe this guy's telling the truth.
Either so, that or the Pink Panther is jizzing everywhere.
I mean, that's just how progressive Dave is.
Dave's like, someone's laying insulation or there's goddamn killer clowns in town.
I mean, I'm itchy all over. Yeah. This is filled with these people just wanted to insulate this Jeep.
It's very drafty.
Yeah,
here.
It's very drafty in a Jeep. Very drafty. Very drafty.
Mooney, I saw the cotton candy myself.
Yeah, it's like, though, and by the way, I'm going to go back to a statement you made, Eric. I mean, they leaned very hard into the clown stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like they just had a whiteboard in front of them. Or excuse me, a dry erase board in front of them.
Oh,
and they
gosh.
Just were like, just say everything about clowns. Anything about clowns. Mallets. The only thing that wasn't in this was seltzer water. Was there seltzer water?
There was a seltzer scene.
There was a seltzer. They just threw everything.
In the drugstore. In the drugstore. They do everything.
Including clowns, handcuffing people and raping them.
Use it for Officer Mooney. I'll bring that up in a bit. But there's a seltzer scene with Officer Mooney. Now, back at the station, Mooney is starting to get all these calls from town about the clown reports, and he's ignoring them and just starts drinking, which, by the way, God bless, Officer Mooney is my spirit animal. He's the guy that just hears that sounds like bullshit. I'm going to just drink alcohol right now.
Bottoms up, motherfuckers.
Can I just say how I would rate this town? I rate it 0.0.
Now, while he's ignoring all these calls, we get to see a clown in his invisible bike run a guy off the road, basically crashes him off. He only has headlights in front of him driving this imaginary bike, and you just... So he crashes that guy off the road. Another one bites the dust. We also see Deb, who is contractually obligated to get naked in a shower scene here. We don't see titties because it was a PG-13 movie. But we see some of the popcorn that was stuck to her shirt on the floor. It starts to crawl across the floor. Now, we see another clown right after that sprinkle some popcorn into a dumpster. A guy comes out. He hears some of the commotion within the dumpster, checks it out, gets sucked in, and some unknown creature within fucking mauls him to death. So
at this point, we realize it's actually an insemination gun.
Yes, an insemination
shooting
popcorn.
Shooting their seed upon you. So
next... Next, we come up on a bus stop where one of the clowns puts on a beautiful shadow puppet show for everybody waiting for a bus in this small town that doesn't need mass transportation. But he makes this amazing puppet show. He makes, like, these fucking crazy-ass hand puppets out of nowhere.
The snake, the dancer.
Yeah, he goes as far as that he actually makes the Washington's crossing over the Delaware, which is pretty amazing.
Clowns really know about American history pretty well.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, there it is.
So, eventually, while this is all going on, Mike and Dave drive by and see what's happening, and Mike immediately says, "Shoot that motherfucking clown immediately! We need to kill it!" And then all of a sudden, the clown makes a giant dinosaur hand puppet, a shadow puppet, that goes down and fucking bites up all of the people that are waiting at the bus stop.
Holy shit!
By the way, I love this scene. Like, I just like to think that Spielberg watched this movie, saw the dinosaur, shot a three-roper, and was like, "I'm going to make Jurassic Park." Like, that scene is, like, again, there is a lot of creativity flowing through this movie. And that, to me, is like, I'm sorry, like, yes, there's a lot of irony in, like, liking a bad B-movie, but, like, that scene was very creative. So I thought that was good. I thought it was a good scene. And then he shrinks the people down.
Then puts them in his bag. Mike and Dave try to run over the clown, but it pulls the costume and just jumps out of the way and disappears. And we don't know where this thing went off to. So Dave decides to call up Officer Mooney, who's back at the station, and tell him about the situation.
"I want you to call the state police and get help. There are clowns, and they are killing people. Over."
"Okay, let me get this straight. You say there are clowns, and you've seen them. Okay, Dave, that's it. Screw you and your college flunkies. I've had enough of this from you and from everyone else. I know what you guys are trying to do. Break me down, drive me out of the force. Well, it's going to take a hell of a lot more than a lame prank like this to get Curtis Mooney to throw in his badge, so fuck you. Over."
"Oh, Mooney, shit. This is an emergency. Mooney!" "He cut me off. Son of a bitch, cut me off. I gotta get back to the station. I don't know what I'm going to say, but I got to get through to the state police."
So
I kind of love how he decides to have him drive at the clown to try to run over him, but the clown jumps off into, like, space.
Yeah, yeah.
But I'm thinking, hey, why don't we actually have it where the car, you know, goes into this wall? Oh, we can't afford to actually destroy a cop car.
No, not yet. We got one cop car to destroy. That's
it. We
got
to return this back to the Akron Police Department after the shoot.
Yeah. So Dave releases Mike, and luckily his ice cream buddies are driving by. So he Mike meets up with his ice cream buddies.
What are they called? The Pimenti brothers? What are those?
The Fentanyl brothers.
The Pimento brothers.
The Pimento brothers.
They're not buying the story, but he entices them to go check on Deb because he thinks Deb is in danger, and rightfully so. Finally, a clown rolls into the station to greet Officer Mooney.
"Whoop the goddamn to do. What do we have here?"
By the way,
"The goddamn to do.
I like
what
the,
do we have here? The goddamn to do. What do we have here?"
Why wasn't that the title of the movie?
Whoop de goddamn to do.
Like, John Vernon was drinking during this film. Like,
so the clown comes up with giant bouquet of flowers and comes before
Officer Mooney. "I think you made a big mistake. You're in Mooney's territory now."
And the clown then takes this bouquet of flowers and seltzer waters him in the face, doing classic clown shtick.
I hate to say that I would have been equally as satisfied if that when he did the flower gag into his face, that was acid that actually took his face right off.
Yeah, that would have been a little bit better, but he doesn't. Budget. The the Officer Mooney then comes behind the clown and cuffs him.
Yep.
And as soon as he cuffs him, the clown walks away, and the hands are left behind in there. And it's just like, it's this classic Looney Tunes thing where it's just like, oh, you son of a bitch, you're not going to get away with this. It's
what
just so good.
What the hoopley is going on here?
What the doodly-do?
He pulls his gun and then forces the clown into the jail area where those two punks are locked up, and goes to put him inside of the cell. Mooney threatens him and produces a little like those little party blow favors, like the things that like you blow into and it extends out, except this one extends out and turns into a fucking Undertaker's arm that fucking choke slams Officer Mooney, pulls him into the bars of the fucking jail cell, and knocks Mooney unconscious.
Yep.
And yeah, basically then these two punks are in there and they're fucking screwed. So Dave shows up and sees the macabre scene at the station. He sees clown footprints all over the floors and wall. Bodies in the cell are cocooned, and there's just it's a fucking cotton candy mess in there. He comes back in.
So much insulation everywhere.
He comes back into the main office and he sees a clown sitting on a chair using Mooney as a fucking like a fucking dummy.
Ventriloquist.
Yep.
Don't worry, Dave. All we want to do is kill you.
By the way, legitimately, probably the scariest scene in the entire movie.
Yeah, it is really creepy to see fucking that actor with done up with, like, the blood comes out of his mouth, yep. So it looks like he's, like, a talking dummy like this.
Like and Jigsaw's just dummy from Saw. Like,
yeah, so
that's legitimately the scariest scene in this movie.
The weirdest part is that after that, he unsleeves from Officer Mooney. And, like, he's just had his hand all the way up his ass into, like, his fucking vocal cords.
Like,
he's
like his spine.
And it just gives, like, one of these things, like, and it just, like, shakes it off
so
as if
good.
You're inseminating a cow, right? Just, like, fucking just shakes himself off.
Freaking, like, he's like, I'm going to just be lazy predator. Yeah. I'm going to grab your spine, but I'm not going to rip it out of your body.
And it just leaves his lifeless body as it tumbles to the floor. Dave starts busting shots at this clown. All appear to be ineffective until he hits the clown in his nose, which causes this motherfucker to explode instantly.
Yep.
So now they have a weakness. It's their fucking little honky nose. All you have to do is hit them in it, and it kills
this
them.
This would have been the perfect part for Tom Savini to show up, and he's like, you got to shoot him in the nose.
Yeah. So
pour hot coffee on his nose.
So Dave calls the state police, and next we see Mike and his goofball ice cream buds headed to go see Deb. So as they head over, they come across a massive situation. It's pretty crazy. They see basically like this giant float that's just sucking up all these cotton candy people that the clowns have killed in the streets. And it's a nice looking float, honestly. Strong looking. It looks like the you know the thing the Thundercats used to ride?
Yes.
Like take that and paint it in clown colors. That's what we're seeing right now.
And add vacuums to it.
Like Skeletor's whatever parade float from Masters of the Universe, like that Frank Langella was on.
Yeah.
Like,
a lot of people complained in this scene because they added this synthesizer film score and stole a part that Prince should have been playing during this.
So another
song, Party Man.
Another poor soul gets zapped.
Hubba.
Who's hiding behind a car, and our boys in the ice cream truck hightail it. So Deb has finally done her 45-minute shower, and we find out what the popcorn finally does. Basically, she gets out, and the popcorn has crawled its way into her toilet and into her laundry basket, and it basically makes tiny clown snakes that just come up, and they're ready to bite. So the popcorn there grows into some fucking atrocious snake monsters.
Again, again, Stephen King saw this, shot a three roper, and was like, I'm going to write Dreamcatcher.
Yeah. So
I'm going to talk about snakes and the anus.
So she's able to escape the horrors of the bathroom with these weird snake monsters, only to find that the whole clown contingency is at her goddamn door. She goes to jump out a window, and there's a bunch of clowns waiting outside with a comical net to catch her.
Oh,
she's
again.
Fucked. And they come in and zap her, but don't turn her into cotton candy, and it's not explained why she's important, but they decide to capture Deb in a giant balloon.
Yep. They're like, oh, it's a 40-year-old virgin. Put her in a balloon.
Yeah, they were like, we need to bring back some faith pussy. Let me tell you, this is we're not only entrepreneurs of space cotton candy burritos, but we're also the leading manufacturer of exotic, weird white puss. So, She's zapped into a giant balloon. They tie her to the top of the car.
That's that
as
Brooke
like
Bama
a fucking like a little as a little like flag that's driving around. Mike and the Ice Cream Boys roll up and they
oh my
follow.
God, that why is that not a band name? Mike and the Ice Cream Boys.
Mike and the Ice Cream Boys? That's a good bit. Yeah. Hell yeah, dude.
Can you hear me?
So
can you hear me in my clown car?
They follow after him as they're chasing this thing. Dave also sees the ice cream truck following and follows in pursuit in his police car. They slam on the brakes at one part and Dave slams into them, into the ice cream truck. It disables the police car very, very easily, and they realize that they're getting off with Deb. He explains it to them, but they all hop in the ice cream truck wondering where to go.
They went that way, but now we lost them. I don't know where they went.
I do. If you were a clown, where would you hide?
The amusement park.
Great!
All right!
Which is very excited to go to this horrible, mass-murdering space alien clown place. But,
again.
Great!
What is this United Nations of accents that we have? It's like, hey, he's going over to the amusement park. Well, that's fantastic.
If I were a clown, where would I go? To the kids' elementary school.
So the clowns get to the amusement park first.
To the attic.
And they take out a guard, but not before doing a classic clown car bit where all of them get out of this very, very tiny car that they're driving in. It's very, very funny. And the clowns basically, what this basically proves is that the clowns have Time Lord technology, okay? That's a Doctor Who reference, yeah. And I hope there's some listener out here that gets that, because our two people who are on the show don't understand.
Are you kidding
it.
Me? Yeah. You're talking about TARDIS. Don't yeah. even pretend to sit here
they're
and be
they
like,
got a goddamn TARDIS
they
that they're driving around in.
Well, the circus tent is a TARDIS, if you yeah. think about it. There's no way.
So
I like the remake of Doctor Who with the retardist.
So they hit
oh my.
They hit this guard with about 30 pies to the face that are I guess acid pies that melt this guard into.
By the way,
you don't even
talk about the best line of this whole scene.
Okay.
The guard goes, "What are you going to do with those pies, boy?" It's like, yeah, this Oh, it's pie day. It's Wednesday. All right. What are you doing with those pies, boys?
I've been here before. I know. This isn't my first day at a goddamn job, boys.
And by the way, what security guard is just sitting guarding the funhouse?
Yeah. And by the way, the guy who's guarding the fucking carnival does not have all of his teeth. That's the biggest problem I had. Like, this guy is not retiring on his fucking pension of guarding fucking clown properties, right?
So this is on brand. You got a carny guard. This is right on brand. This
so
is
our,
great.
Our heroes enter, and they go into the crazy house to follow the clowns in. As they venture deep into this fun house, they start to realize the things that we've already seen. It's the giant spaceship that we expected it to be and that we saw earlier in the film. Now, the two ice cream dudes get booby-trapped as they're walking through and get dropped into
real.
A ball pit where they're met by two very, I guess what they're trying to make is sexy clowns? Like
large-breasted clowns.
Two juggalettes, if you will.
Yeah.
And
these clowns are DTF.
Of course, this is a very important scene in the film because it's our first juggalo sex scene, and it's doing more things for the Juggalo community than I've ever seen, where it's okay to fuck a girl that shits in her pants and shakes it out through the leg, right? Like, that's what we get to see in this scene. So
you're welcome.
So Mike and Dave make their way back to the cotton candy room that we saw earlier. They can't find Deb, though. A fat clown enters the room. They hide. He taps the cotton candy to see which one is ripe and uses a giant silly straw to drink blood from within one of them. They are clearly shot.
They are hungry. They're going to eat everybody,
just
man.
Calm down. Just calm down, all right?
Game over, man.
It's too late. All right.
So as they're drinking the blood from this, they finally are able to find the balloon that is Deb's trapped in. Dave decides to use a gun to open it because that seems like a pin or any other sharp object seems ridiculous, but immediately alerts the rest of the ship to their presence. Now they're on the run. Dave, Mike, and Deb. Dave shoots two of the clowns in the escape process. He's a regular fucking clown killer, but lots of the clowns are still in pursuit of them through the ship. They get pinned down as they reach a fucking dead end that has a door, and he tells them to open the door.
Shit, another door!
I can't take them anymore.
But there's another door. They open that door.
Come on, open the door. Another door. Come on, Mike. Another door. Another door.
No, God, what a good bit. So
the final door, they get to go into John Malkovich's head.
So they're they eventually get through this last tiny door, and they, you need to understand, as they walk in, they pull the door towards them. Then they go on the other side, and like the way they try to lock the door, it's not going to work. The way that they put they lock the door, like all you have to do is still push it open, and it doesn't matter at all. So I found that to be very comical. So they get into there, and the shotgun is empty. It doesn't work anymore. They're pretty much out of ammo. And now they're in a giant room with what looks like a giant birthday cake in the middle. The clowns all get into there. They're surrounded. They climb to the top of this giant birthday cake when all of a sudden our boys come crashing through the wall out of nowhere. It's our ice cream fellas covered in weird clown kiss marks.
Giant clown kiss marks. Their shirts are ripped.
Give me the mic.
I am the great and powerful JoJo. I command you to stop. Do not hurt them. Let them go. You will obey me. Let them go.
By the way, that somehow works. That somehow works. Like, these two random white dudes with a giant clown that looks like they just came from an ICP orgy just come in through the wall. And they're just like, it's cool. We're not going to fucking...
They're like, listen up, you fucking spaghetti motherfuckers.
They pull a classic Locutus of Borg situation.
Oh, yeah. Shit.
It is our leader. He's in the clown truck.
So their weak-ass ploy works, But the ice cream truck won't start, so they can't drive away. And all of a sudden, we see the roof above the cake start to open up. And as it opens up, we see this massive clown,
the alien
drop
queen
from the fucking ceiling. This fucking marionette puppet who is Andre the Giant clown on steroids. It's their T-Rex. It is their fucking Godzilla. Drops in, and this is Mega Clown that is now on the scene.
And then Sigourney Weaver comes out in the fucking get away from
come
them,
here,
you
bitch. So, they decide to leave on foot, except for our two ice cream boys who stay into the truck. The giant clown comes over to that ice cream truck and destroys the fuck out of it, chucks it, and it explodes. explodes. And Dave then decides to help out Deb and Mike by drawing the clown's attention and shooting it with his handgun as they escape. He shoots wildly. The ship starts to unroot and take off, but luckily Deb and Mike are able to get out. Dave quickly runs out of bullets and is yoked up by the monster. The tent starts to spin as it takes flight outside, as Deb and Mike are now safely out of its grasp. Dave, though, is able to take his badge off. He uses the shield. He uses the shield that he's earned at this small town fucking sheriff, and uses just the pinpoint of it to pop the giant clown's nose, and that causes a giant explosion of the entire ship as it's taking off, blowing everything to smithereens, including the tiny clown car that we saw earlier right in front of Mike and Deb. And all of a sudden, the door opens. And it's Dave. He somehow got in that split second where it exploded. He was able to get into this.
Wow, what a ride.
And also our ice cream boys. They also somehow lived.
Hey.
Yeah, but I saw you guys get blown up in the ice cream truck.
Oh, that. Well, we hid in the freezer with the ice cream.
Yeah. Anybody want a dipsicle?
Oh, you and your ice cream.
I'm going to pay for the truck.
Don't blame me. It was your idea.
No, it wasn't. You're the one who said we could get girls.
You said you could.
I did not.
Hey, listen, if it wasn't for me, you'd be a dead French fry.
Oh, yeah. Well, you'd be a dead.
So, our comic relief and our main hero, and everybody is still alive. And all of a sudden, they ask, is it over?
Blame me, it was your idea.
No, it wasn't. You're the one who said we could get girls.
Oh, yeah,
you'd be a dead French fry.
Oh, yeah, well, you'd be a dead possum.
I was very drunk when I did the editing for all this. Calm down.
Do you think it's over?
Oh, yeah. Here you go.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, sure.
And then all of a sudden... they get covered with random pies, and that brings us to an end of Killer Clowns from Outer Space, boys.
They ended this with the pie in their face, but it really needed to end with them screaming as their faces are being burned off from it.
Exactly. So. It's like, but, okay, the one thing we didn't talk about was at one point in this film, Dave, I think, says, or Debbie says, what if these clowns, what if these aliens are, what if we got our idea for clowns from these aliens or something like that? Like, these are aliens, they're not taking
clowns. Yeah, the mythology of clowns. Yeah. Like, maybe our whole idea of clowns is actually built on their these ancient alien clowns.
And then you're like, oh
good.
Shit, this is Prometheus. What the fuck are we watching?
That's a good ass bit. It's a good ass bit.
I'm
like that.
Okay. Great, and then, of course, Ridley Scott watched this, shot a three roper, and was like, I'm going to make Prometheus. Dude, this movie influenced everybody to make movies.
I can honestly say, this is a great soundtrack,
and that's,
too, man.
And that's why
this is
in Prometheus, instead of the alien, an actual clown comes out of the stomach.
Yeah.
So
instead of popcorn, it's just black liquid.
As the robot collects popcorn off the top of
the little
faces.
Yeah, Ridley Scott's like, popcorn's ridiculous. I am going to use black.
Genius!
So that brings us to an end of this episode.
Honestly, the song is probably the best part of this movie behind the boss puppet and the shadow scene.
I'm going to go out on a limb because I haven't seen the new movie yet because it hasn't come out yet. But I'm going to guess if they still have the Tenacious D brothers as the guys in the new movie, that they've actually been impregnated by the female clowns and are going to have clown babies.
Oh, my God.
Hey, Christopher Lawrence, thanks for joining us on the show again, man. It was fucking awesome that you made it out here in your handicapped state. Tell everybody what your favorite coffee is.
My favorite coffee is from Royal Farm still. I don't give a shit.
And where can people see your burned dick at? Where can they follow you? Where can they look at you? Where can they enjoy their best?
You can find me at Claw Comedy. And by the time this airs, you will still be able to see me at the Tower in Bel Air, Maryland on Thursday, September 28th. So check me out.
Hell yeah. So check out Seelaw Comedy, Claw Comedy, do all that shit. You can check all things Eric Comedy at ericcomedy.com. That's where you can find links to our show. You can find links to the Laugh Finder podcast, our sister show that's vastly more popular than my podcast. Also, former guest Christopher Lawrence can be found on our archives there. You can do all that shit. Go to the Second Saturday Shit Show. It's free every second Saturday of the month. It's hosted by Mike Quinlan. Drop us a 5-star rating on the iTunes or Stitcher. It helps us out tremendously. We love it. Jeremy, take us out.
Damn you, Delta, drinking wine in my town.